This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Store's beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy six Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1 liter flavors and get the seventh free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy six and get the seventh free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
This hour brought to you by Menards. Save big money at Menards. So after the Cubs head home from Japan, following the first two games, how do we feel about the trip overall? Was it worth all the bonding? Do you think overall it will go down as a good or a bad idea?
I think it will go down as a bad idea. I think that the two games that they lost, had they split, I feel differently. But the very fact that they went there and lost two games makes it not a bonding experience, but sort of a little bit of a waste of time, if you will. Now they come home and they got not enough time really to get ready. They should be okay, but I would have preferred if they didn't make the trip, if that makes sense. You know, you could never do that in the middle of a season, but you're going to do it to start a season just so people... You could have just said there were exhibition games, and then you could start a season and move on in life, but they didn't want to do it that way, so... Who am I to complain? I'm sure that it helped them grow the game in Japan, if that's what they're after. It might get them more players, etc. So good for baseball, bad for the Cubs. And you're back in training camp. What's Nico's status? They need him. I think we learned that.
He'll be back. This trip. Birdie was good today, though.
Get him going.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, I am not certain as to whether or not this is going to damage them. How they're going to recover from it. But I know this. If they come back to Wrigley Field and they've lost a lot of games, I think we're all going to feel like this was one of the dumber things that ever happened.
We will indeed think that way. Yesterday we talked about where we were with our win total. I think I'm down to 80. Okay. I mean, in all honesty, I mean, again, the 2, 3, and the 4 hitters,
yeah, it's a
one for 22, okay. Right? Two, three, and four, one for 22.
I can't do this.
Can't do what?
No, keep going.
No, I mean, let's just hope. Again, I brought it up yesterday, and I think I'm trying to confirm it. I heard that Cody Bellinger even backed up what I said. Like, the trip to London absolutely messed them up, and let's hope that this isn't messed up right from Jump Street.
Right. When I say I can't do this, I mean, I had those reactions in our first segment. This is the way I feel about it, these two games now, because I think a lot of things that are frustrating.
Yep.
And I am overreacting, admittedly overreacting, to baseball finally arriving and seeing the Cubs look like last year's version, and was all disappointing. And I asked, what is the Japanese word for flummoxed or frustrated? Okay? We're entitled to that, because this was disappointing, fully disappointing. But, and there's a big but, couple deep breaths during the break, a good night's sleep once they get back. This does not have to define your season, and I don't think it will. This was bigger than baseball. This really was bigger than baseball. This trip, when they look back, will be worth all of the effort, all of the expense, all of the 14-hour flights and 20 hours coming back or whatever it happens to be. This was a trip where you grew the game, you experienced things you never would before in your life if you're the Cubs, and you look at it as it was a bonding experience. These players will never have anything else happen in their lives as unique as what they just experienced, in all likelihood. So from that standpoint, it was very good for the Cubs. It was very hard for Cub fans. Somewhere along the lines, we'll look back and they'll think, well, remember those frustrating moments on that Thursday? Today's Wednesday, I'm sorry.
Yeah, who
knows? That Wednesday in March when Dustin said they'd win 80 games.
We're lost in translation, too.
It's a great question.
That's the voice of Zach Zabin. He's going to join us before 10 o'clock here with the Mully and Haw Show. In retrospect, should Jameson Taillon and Matthew Boyd been left off the 26-man roster, eligible for players to play against the Dodgers, if the plan was to piggyback your top two starters? Why would you next best two starters inactive? Is that a fair to second-guess the manager?
Absolutely, it's fair to second-guess. Now, this is what I don't understand, and this is where the part that's fair game, to be frustrated. If your plan was to piggyback yesterday and today, Justin Steele needed a piggyback ride off the mound. I mean, he was not sharp.
No.
If that was your plan all along, Craig Counsell, I don't understand using Boyd and Taillon on the weekend. And I don't accept Bruce's explanation about having stretched out. Isn't it stretching them out, using them, giving an extra day? They could have pitched Tuesday and Wednesday rather than Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah.
Help me understand that, Dustin. I don't understand it, because if you're going to use your best guys in the series against the best team in baseball, why were Matthew Boyd and Jameson Taillon not available to you? Doesn't make any sense in the world. We're talking about how many batters they walked. That would not have been the case, I'm pretty confident in saying, if you had Boyd and Taillon to go to after your starters.
It would have been nice. I mean, that still doesn't solve the 2-3-4 hitters going 1-for-22, obviously. But it would have been nice to see. I mean, these are big moments. And again, Ben Brown, it feels like the Dodgers took this as a business trip and the Cubs went there as tourists. That's how I feel right now.
That's good. That's a good way of expressing it. I got to say that Shota pitched well. That's all I'm going to say about how the pitching went. And they used, what, six pitchers today?
They used six today, yep.
Yeah.
Four innings, though.
I know. That he pitched well. That's my point. They needed better pitching. Listen, they lost the game because they couldn't really score runs. You're not going to win a ton of games when you score four runs in two games. But I think that they gave up runs. I think that if they had better pitching, then obviously, and if those are better pitchers, then you could have gone four innings with somebody else and not given up runs. So the problem is, as Dustin said, you know, they can bond over the fact that they have no timely hitting. They can bond over the fact that they leave runners in scoring position. They can bond over the fact that they struck out a lot over two games. I don't know that that's great. You're right. Great experiences. You're seeing something you're not used to. But I don't know that this helps them in the season. And the manager probably made an error by the choices he made, because they didn't pitch sharp, period, end of story, other than Shota.
That's another really good question.
Any idea why the White Sox are reluctant to name their rotation spots outside of the opening day starter right now, who is Sean Burke? This is from Will Venable. Quote, part of it is the continuing to figure out where we are at, and just strategically, we probably aren't going to announce until we get closer.
Okay. I think they've got some problems. I think that Jonathan Cannon would have been the opening day starter if he had been better in spring training, and he wasn't. What has he got, like an 11.4 ERA in the games that he's pitched this far?
Yeah.
That's
Cannon
no
misfiring.
Good. Cannon misfiring sounds like a problem. You gotta, we know who the pitchers are. And they just haven't told you in what order they're going to them because they're not quite sure. I would imagine.
So he made the team?
That Martin Perez is the next guy. I think he's got to.
Does Jonathan Cannon make the team?
I think he's probably their third starter. I don't know. But you know, they've tried tons of guys. Like that Nick Nastrini is out of the picture. They got a lot of guys that they rolled in last year that are out of the picture now. Mm-hmm. And the guys that are the best are down in Birmingham. They got three guys probably in that group that might have to move up faster than you need to move people. It's a problem. But they don't have a professional pitching staff is why they're not naming who's starting when. But we know the first four pitchers. It's not any kind of mystery. But the idea that you don't want to line them up, that tells me maybe they're waiting to see if Drew Thorpe, you know, can get ready in time and could be part of the rotation. They do not have a lot of professional pitching. That's the problem.
Didn't they come out and tell us that it's going to be some combination of these four guys at least,
yes,
right? So we
know
at,
they
at least we know. I don't want to be a hypocrite here in my answer. Oh, a Cub fan. I mean, as a Cub fan this morning, obviously I have my own problems right now, right? I mean, right now the Cubs are on pace to break the Sox record of last year of futility, right? Okay. But the other part is if the Cubs were in a normal spring training situation, I think they'd still be playing games with us too. They wouldn't even have told us that Justin Steele or whoever was starting. I don't want to give the White Sox a hard time here because I don't think the Cubs would have let us know what was going on at this point either had things been exactly the same at this point in Arizona for them.
And frankly, in my opinion, doesn't matter. I think we always make a big deal about the opening day starter. It always amuses me because it is only one start. Sean Burke will get the nod on opening day. He'll make history. It'll be his fifth major league appearance. And there's all kinds of inexperience in play. Maybe he'll have some anxiety on the south side. I hope he does well because he has come on. But after that, I'm not sure that it matters what order they go in. And if Jonathan Cannon is here, and I think that we have every reason to believe he will, even though we had a bad spring, then he still can wipe out the spring and try to start again and fresh and new. That's the beauty of opening day. That's the beauty of the beginning of a season. You have five guys, and I hope Drew Thorpe is one of those five, eventually, that you feel like are going to be professional representatives of a major league staff. I'm more concerned about what their infield is going to look like. There's a story in the Sun-Times this morning. Who's at shortstop? Good question. Who's going to play third? Do you trust Vargas? Oh, by the way, how does that affect second base? Second, third, and short. Wow.
It's a lot.
There's a lot of guys who are very anonymous and unproven.
And there's a lot of people that don't like the first baseman.
A lot of people that don't like the first baseman. I know. I'm not giving up on Andrew Vaughn yet, though. I still think that he has redeemable qualities, and I'm not saying that he is a guy that is going to continue to be a disappointment. But I do think it's a fair question about the rotation. I hope that Drew Thorpe gets healthy, and I hope that these guys of the minors, the Birmingham Project, come up quick.
Oh, God. Oh, my God. The Birmingham Project.
You know, I knew that question would come up.
Too soon.
Does the fact that former second-round pick wide receiver Rondale Moore visited Halas Hall on Monday indicate to you that the Bears want more speed and yak in their receiving room? How about Mecole Hardman? Are they hunting returns? Is it about the players or the increased speed? What do you believe they're looking for?
They're looking for specifically somebody to take the top off of defense, like they don't have. The Bears really don't have a speed guy. Mecole Hardman signed with the Packers. Yeah. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Good luck with Jordan Love. I think that when you – he'll be fine. But he was an intriguing possibility because of he did return punts and kickoffs with the Chiefs at one point in his career, maybe not as big of a part of it now. They're looking for a speed guy and a return guy. Rondale Moore missed last season with a knee injury. But if he's healthy, he's dangerous.
4.29.
I like what he did with the Cardinals at times. I like what he did at Purdue in college football. Boy, was that guy exciting. And if he can recapture some of that, he could be, in Bears fans' context, remember what Tariq Cohen looked like at times? Rondale Moore is a version of that. He's a smallish guy.
Yep.
He's hard to catch. He also can be very elusive. And if he can be a deep threat, great. They need a deep threat, whether it's in the deeper in the draft or somebody who's still on the street as a free agent. That's what they're looking for, and Ben Johnson knows what he wants.
They are apparently looking for speed, and also they're really big on no block, no rock. Okay, so if you're not going to be part of the running game and the blocking game, then you're not getting the rock.
I love that.
So no block, no rock.
I love it.
Yeah, they're hunting speed, and if they got a returner, that'd be great. What they're looking for is Velus Jones, only a guy that can hold on to the ball. They're looking for a guy that could be a weapon on offense and could return something, and they're taking their time doing it. I think it's interesting only because if we get to a point where they don't sign anyone, they're going into the draft, we know that they'll be looking for that later in the draft. So that's kind of the key being, you know, you bring guys in, you talk to them, they didn't sign either guy. And then, as you say, Aardman goes to the Packers and signs. So, you know, it's just a question of what you want. They got three receivers. They're looking for a guy, as you say, take the top off the defense, maybe be able to run a few plays in the slot. Somebody that has some yak to him, there's no doubt. I think you just look at Detroit and how they put the receivers together, and that is a clue. And so I find it interesting only in terms of how it impacts the latter part of the draft, because I think the top of it is a little bit different.
What kind of question is that?
You know that guy's voice, don't you? Aaron Rodgers, after Tom Pelissero reported the Vikings are out on Aaron Rodgers, and Steelers captain Cam Hayward sounded anything but eager to welcome old A-Rod.
Are you going to be off the grid for a little bit, go to the darkness and try to get this guy? We need you. You're our best recruiter. I'm about to get to Darius Slay, and it sounds like you recruited him too. So we need you to start recruiting. Get that NIL bag out like you did at Ohio State.
I ain't doing that darkness retreat. I don't need any of that crap. Like, either you want to be a Pittsburgh Steeler or you don't. That's simple. That's the pitch. Like, if you want me to recruit, that's the recruiting pitch. You know, Pittsburgh Steelers, if you want to be part of it, so be it. If you don't, no skin on my back.
The Not Just Football podcast, thanks to them for the use of the audio. What's next for the Diva QB? A giant leap? How about the Browns?
I got to tell you, that's like the greatest news ever to hear that he's not going to Minnesota. I hated that idea. I think that Kevin O'Connell's a really good coach. I love that they are doing the whole JJ or bust thing. I like it. That's what they should do. They didn't keep the guy that lost the last two games, never mind the guy that won all the other games. And that's kind of what they're thinking. So, JJ, let's hope he's healthy. As I sit here right now, David, I need a lot of MRIs. One of them I need on JJ. I need to look at it. I need one on Cooper Flag. I got to look at that one.
I've been sitting next to you for a long time. If the Bears had invested this much hope in a quarterback who had a second procedure in November to address swelling in his right knee after he had surgery for a torn meniscus, you would be ripping them and questioning and doubting every single move. And I'd be right there with you in lockstep.
He's had two surgeries. I just don't want to see Aaron Rodgers.
I know. That's it.
That's all
it is.
That's
it, right?
I'm delighted by it.
Sorry.
I mean, now that Aaron Rodgers is not going to the Vikings, I don't care. I don't care where he ends up. And I think any organization at this point, and it's almost why I kind of wanted him to go to the Vikings, in all honesty. I think you are at this point doing a disservice to your entire organization. And you just heard a good guy, Cam Hayward, spell it out for you.
Yeah.
You are bringing this guy into your building, and any culture that you may have, he is going to destroy it.
The standard is a standard in Pittsburgh. I love what Cam Hayward had to say.
I like it.
No, thank you, Mr. Darkness Retreat. We have seen the light, and Mike Tomlin wants no part of you. Maybe that's the case. I don't know. Until it happens, it doesn't happen, and maybe it will. I'm intrigued by the Vikings' decision here. I really am, because it's a lot of hope and faith, and there's some doubt surrounding the health of J.J. McCarthy, not as a quarterback, but just as him, his ability to stay on the field. If he stays on the field, I'm confident he's going to be an excellent NFL quarterback. I just hope he stays on the field. As for Aaron Rodgers, I'm a big Jay Cutler going full Jay Cutler on you right here. Don't care.
This will be a pick six. There's your ball game.
As the tournament action heats up, College Hoops coverage on the Score. It's brought to you by Bet365. Bet365. Can you please give us three or four opening round upsets for the NCAA tournament as people put their final touches on their brackets? Which teams do you recommend they keep an eye on, and which matchups offer the best value?
Well, it was great last night when the tournament started for real, and Alabama State delivered on March Madness. The tournament started for real on Tuesday night. Good for Alabama State and North Carolina. The tournament started for real. Now, as far as upsets in the first round, I'm looking at Akron, possibly. I think possibly over Arizona. Drake.
I got Drake, buddy.
Drake is a good double-digit one. VCU and Vandy. Those are the four double-digit seeds if you want to look at possible upsets. And maybe underdogs could be offer some really good value. And other than that, it's pretty chalky tournament. It's a pretty chalky Final Four.
Circus Sports Illinois and us here at The Score invite you to kick off the start of the March College Hoops with Matt Spiegel and Mark Rohde Friday, 2 to 6, real-time sports over in Elk Grove Village. Enjoy every single game, specials on buckets of Miller Lite, Coors Light, and more real-time sports. It's all sponsored by Circus Sports Illinois, sports betting the way it should be. David, I have come around. I agree the tournament started last night. We had our first clip that will definitely be part of one shining moment. Okay, we almost had a Christian Laettner type play.
Yes. Late to the court.
From Alabama State. And for winning that game, they are now going to take on Auburn. And per our friends over at Circus Sports Illinois, are a 31-point dog to Auburn on Thursday afternoon.
You came around?
Huh?
I've
come around. And this also is going to lead me to the clearest answer to this question. After seeing North Carolina put up 90, we're up 40-plus at one point. Not only did North Carolina deserve to be in this tournament, North Carolina is going to make it to the second weekend of this tournament.
I know.
Because a former guest of this show and a guest that was on this station earlier referred to Ole Miss as trash. Okay? He referred to them as, so North Carolina is going to beat the trashy team Ole Miss, and then they're going to beat Iowa State, who's minus their star player, but then lose to Michigan State. So North Carolina, I don't know if you'd consider BYU or Gonzaga. I think those are two teams that can actually move. I mean, Gonzaga could really blow up everybody's bracket, by the way, if they were able to knock off the number one seed Houston Cougars. So keep an eye on BYU and Gonzaga. Not double digits, but North Carolina playing in the Sweet 16, everybody.
Still don't have many many quad one wins. That's not one of them. I'm going VCU. I'm going Drake. I like Yale. I think they're going to outthink Texas A&M.
This year's Princeton.
And here you go. You want a huge upset?
Huge upset. Yep. Give me a huge upset.
Keep an eye on High Point
for
your beloved Purdue.
Oh, no.
High Point.
They're going to derail the Boilers.
Can you believe it? They've won 29 games.
High Point.
Yep.
That would definitely be the peak of their season.
All right, that's the Pick 6, 312-644-6767. We're going to bring in Zach next. We get a chance to talk to our guy as he finishes up his time in Japan. We'll get all the insight and all the meaning of everything that happened, and we'll get that from Zach Zaidman next. Mully and Hall on the Score.
Yeah, sure thing. Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient. Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Zach Sadman.
We're live on the radio.
Delivering the best calls of Cubs and DePaul game.
And Ohtani swings and drives one in the air. Deep right center field. Bangs off the wall. Umpires are now saying it's a home run. A home run for Shohei Ohtani.
Former Bears radio sideline reporter.
Down here with Jay Cutler. What were you guys trying to do on that play to Martellus Bennett?
I'm trying to score.
A man with a great head of hair.
And what color would your hair be, Zach?
Luscious red locks, Pat. Thank you so much for asking. It's real and it's spectacular. Some would refer to it as Syracuse orange.
Zach Sadman.
The ginger hair genius. He was a hit yesterday, right, guys?
With Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Here he is, the man himself, Mr. Zach Sadman, joins us now on The Score Hotline, the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, new tires for spring. You can get them at aturo.com. Zach, you are an international hit, buddy. You were fantastic. And we loved hearing you. Congratulations.
Mike, David, good morning. You know, as they say in Japan, Ohio, it means good morning. And it is a pleasure to be on with you two.
All right, Zach, help us put all this in perspective. Cubs start 0-2, struck out way too many times in two games, walked way too many batters for two games, 15 walks by Cub pitchers, 21 Ks by Cub hitters. Where are we to go from here, and what are we to make of this?
Doesn't it seem like we've seen the type of game the Cubs have played
yes.
the last couple of
yep.
days 250 times over the last
yes.
3 years?
Yes.
It's been part of the issue. Don't overreact after two games. But the goal is to not have long stretches of this type of stuff as you had last year and the year before that. So hopefully with some of the changes that they've made, they'll be able to shorten some of these offensive issues. Bottom line is this. You're 2 through 5 hitters, and we have a segment during Cubs Radio called the meat of the order, right? So that's Seiya Suzuki, Kyle Tucker, Michael Busch, Matt Shaw. In this series, went 2 for 31 in the two games with one RBI. Got to be better than that if you expect to win. But keep in mind, the Dodgers are the world champs. They have yep. great pitching, and usually good pitching beats good hitting, and that's what transpired over the last couple of days.
Yeah, there is no doubt that they ran into problems because the Dodgers are awful good. And really, you know, when you award a home run to a guy who hits a double because he's Babe Ruth, you just have to go along with it, right? How
yeah,
did
but
they
that's
have
one
no
run.
Cameras? I know, and it was over. That was the last run. Nonetheless, it was weird to see that they had no angles at all. I mean, there was nothing there like you'd see in a major league ballpark.
Yeah. Imagine trying to call that one off a monitor and you see Shohei Ohtani hitting the ball and you know he's crushed it. And then the next shot immediately after that is a close-up of Shohei Ohtani's face as opposed to where the ball actually ended up. And then at the last second, all of a sudden you see PCA leaping up in the air.
Yeah.
And you have to wait for a split second because anytime PCA is doing anything, mm-hmm. there's a chance he's going to complete the play. Then you see the ball bang off of something. You assume it's the wall. Shohei thought it was a double, right? And then the umpires decide, whatever. It's... That was the least of the Cubs' problems over the last couple of days.
Level of concern over Justin Steele. Wasn't sharp, and he had the illness in spring training, and I think we're waiting for him to get sharp, but it is early.
Let me reverse it. Are you worried about Justin Steele?
Well, Zach, you know, it's kind of our obligation to overreact to everything after two games, but I think there's a level of concern. Yeah, I think maybe a little bit. I want him to be ace caliber Justin Steele. I don't know we've seen him be ace caliber anything in the spring training.
I think that you can worry about spring training. I'll worry about the regular season. And I think over the course of his Cubs career, I don't think there's been a more consistent player on the Cubs during the time that Justin Steele has been a Cub than Justin Steele. Would you not agree with me?
Fair point. Yes.
So that's why I'm not worried about him. Again, the offense is a concern because you'd like. You made all these moves, right? You add Kyle Tucker to the mix. Everyone's excited about Matt Shaw. And you'd like to see the offense not look like the stuff that scared the daylights out of you over the last couple of years. But again, it's the Dodgers. They can hit reset for a little more than a week before the regular season resumes March 27th in Arizona. But that brings up another point. Cubs have a really difficult schedule the first month of the season. You got the Dodgers. They'll be finished with the Dodgers by the end of April. And you also take on the Diamondbacks, who have upgraded significantly. The Padres are in the mix as well. Going to be a tough stretch. You'll know a lot about the Cubs from an offensive standpoint by the end of the first month of the season. And it sounds weird saying it because, again, I know that the last couple of years, the kind of games that we saw from an offensive standpoint from the Cubs over these two games scares you. But hopefully you don't see this streak go for a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks in a row, and they're able, because of some of the additions they made this offseason, to nip that in the bud quickly.
The Cubs gave up Cam Smith, who is apparently on a Hall of Fame track. They gave up one-time All-Star Isak Paredes, and they gave up 27-year-old Hayden Wesneski for a single year of Kyle Tucker. How is that year going to go? And I mean, I know he had a bad spring, and he hit the wall today.
He had the Ohtani homer today.
He had the Ohtani
homer. He hit the wall.
If Ohtani hit that, they'd have called it a homer. But it's just not enough. And I was expecting more timely hitting. I thought he'd have a really big game today because he was 0-for-4 yesterday.
Yeah, Cubs went 1-for-7 with runners in scoring position in each of these two games against the Dodgers. I think if you look at Kyle Tucker's career, all he's done is hit, right? All he's done is hit. Even when he's been banged up, he missed 3 months last season with a fractured shin, and he still hit 23 home runs. So when he's out there, history tells you he's going to be good. I imagine he's going to continue to be good before all is said and done. Do not overreact to two games against the best team in baseball.
All right, Zach, let's flip the script quickly. What is your final four? How good is St. John's?
I think St. John's is really, really good, and I think St. John's can win it all if two things happen. One, the officials let him play. Because in the Big East, they let you play, and it's a very physical league.
That's a great point.
Then you watch some of the other leagues, and the officiating isn't the same. So if the Johnnies get into foul trouble, that changes the dynamic. Right. But they've got everything that you generally look at and say, that those are the ingredients of a team that can make the Final Four and win a championship. They've got one of the best coaches, not just in college basketball today, but of all time, in Rick Pitino. They are loaded defensively. I've said this to you guys before. When St. John's is on the floor, it seems like you're going up against six defenders, not five. They're that long. I think they're stronger than most teams. I think they're better defensively than most teams, and they're better conditioned than most teams. That's tough to overcome. So even though they don't hit the three on a consistent basis, although it has been better lately, I think they've got the kind of stuff that gives you a difficult time to score. Now, Florida is in there. Yes. So that, and Florida's really good, but again, I'm going to go with the stronger defensive team over the stronger offensive team. I like St. John's an awful lot in terms of this mix, and I like Duke an awful lot. You know, we spent so much time talking about the SEC, but I think the two very best teams in the country may be Duke and St. John's before all is said and done.
Yeah, I like Florida, but I think what you're saying about St. John's is right. I think the problem for St. John's, they don't hit the three. We know that. They don't hit their free throws. Like, they could, at the end of a game, clank a couple of those and be in trouble.
Yeah, they could. I do think, though, they've hit their three-pointers lately, down the stretch in the Big East tournament. If they can keep that going in the NCAA tournament. Like, for example, this upcoming weekend, I don't think St. John's is going to have any difficulty. It's after that where you start to wonder, you know, can they, is the three-point shooting going to become an issue when you start facing some of the top-tier teams in this tournament?
Last thing, Zach, if you were Matt Shaw, would you have called the scorer and asked him to reverse your first major league hit to an error as Ron Coomer vehemently wanted him to?
It's going to be a weird highlight, right?
Yeah, it's funny.
It was a one-hop bouncer right back to the pitcher, and he just couldn't squeeze it correctly. Dreyer was the pitcher for the Dodgers, and the ball squirts off to the third base side of the mound. I mean, they ruled it a hit, but I think even the official score, I think if you watch that again, would say, come on, that's a play you got to make. I don't think, though, that Matt Shaw is going to listen to Ron Coomer and make a call to have that.
It release. Counts.
Zach, get home quick because you're doing games, right? Saturday, Sunday, Monday, you and Coom will be on doing all the Cubs Cactus League finishing.
Yeah, spring training resumes, at least on the score, Saturday yes. against the Rockies. And then the Cubs, at the beginning of next week, have that two-game series against the Braves, a good tune-up as they get ready to face the Arizona Diamondbacks in Phoenix in the domestic opener on March 22nd.
Great stuff, Zach.
You're the best, buddy. Thank you.
Take it easy, guys.
And we should also let everyone know that not only can you listen to hear the Cubs and hear Zach, but you can meet Dustin Rhodes on Saturday. How about this?
Sounds like a treat.
He is, and the 670 The Score crew will be out this Saturday from 2 to 4 p.m. at AT&T in Oak Lawn. Dustin headlines the event, but there's more. You stop by, enter for a chance to win tickets to see the Bulls take on the Lakers on March 27th. Plus, you get to meet Chicago legend Will Perdue. Dustin will be with Will and the Incredibles Entertainment Squad. This is going to be a party. That's Saturday from 2 to 4 at AT&T in Oak Lawn. It's at 5251 West 95th Street.
And if you have a collared shirt, Dustin will sign your autograph.
He will. If you have a shirt from any of the five schools he went to, he will happily sign
it. No logos. No logos. Collared shirt, collared signed shirt, autograph.
No logos. You signed that. And no one wants to see your feet, so make sure.
I think it'll be cold enough. I don't think people should be wearing flip-flops or sandals. No slides.
Yeah,
and it's not a good look to wear socks with slides either for those who
really?
Do that.
Really?
Yeah.
No. Okay.
It's good.
All right. Can't wait for that.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
It's a lot of fun. Make sure you get there. Transition on 670 The Score, brought to you by Webb Hyundai in Highland or Merrillville, Indiana. Get the vehicle you deserve at the payment you want at Webb Hyundai, and we will do transition next. Mully and Haw on the Score.
Hashtag capture the flag.
Now we're in a transition a little bit.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. We, of course, broadcast live from the Score's Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your Hyundai dealers. Want to thank them. Want to thank Matt and Naya for getting us twitching this morning. And I want to thank the Cubs for letting us have like an extra couple of
hours.
That
was nice. Thank you, Jed Hoyer.
Yeah.
Tom Ricketts and company.
It's a pity that things didn't go better.
Can they do the domestic opener at 5 a.m. too?
Appreciate it. Yeah, those are good. That's a good time. We should move some games to 5 a.m.
No.
Yeah,
no.
I think everyone would
between
be better
Between 5
off.
And 10? Yeah. It'd be great.
They wouldn't have the beer sales, but maybe they would.
Maybe they would. Bloody Marys.
We want to thank everyone for calling and texting and emailing.
Most of all, thank you for listening on this Wednesday, March 19th.
And thanks to our executive producer. Wow. Dustin Rhodes, what a man. What a job he does.
Seconds left, and here we go. This is where dreams are made.
It's all for it all.
Simpson home run play, the deflection.
Oh!
A layup! 0.7 seconds left. Alabama State in front.
How about that? That turned Dustin's mind.
Can I just mark the occasion?
Yes.
Did that turn Dustin's mind, or did we turn Dustin's
well,
mind?
Well, you want to say you turned
yes,
his mind.
Yes, I'm going to take credit for that.
But
the tournament started last night.
I think that play, it made him acknowledge, yes, the tournament started last night.
That play, after months of coercion, yes, the tournament started last night. What a highlight.
Yeah, and the
great moment.
And the North Carolina, their legitimacy tour began last night, too.
Nobody enjoyed that more than Bubba Cunningham.
Let's also thank our guy. He is a Brandon Fryer does an unbelievable job. He works he does the job of five men, and he runs around and does everything. It's incredible to watch.
You know, as they say in Japan, Ohio, it means good morning.
Zach was on.
Hey, it's a Layla. What day is it? Thursday, you said?
It seems like Thursday.
It's a Layla Wednesday. Yeah. Get on board for big fun.
She's here.
And Marshall Harris, look at him. He's beautiful. Gonna get a suit today. Come on, everybody.
Happy to be here. Happy to suit up.
We are happy you're here.
Happy to relieve you of your short shift. I can't believe they gave you the shaft and only let you guys be on it.
We're gonna keep talking in another room. We don't know what to do with ourselves.
This afternoon show has a good man. The shorty, they know how to schedule it, don't they?
How often
it's nice
do you get
that you guys finally get one.
This is the first time ever. Yeah.
Oh.
I came in this morning. I was here on time. I'm watching a game. The games are getting, I'm like, yeah. I went into Mitch's office. I sat down, and next thing you know, Mitch is like coming in. Mitch comes in. I hear something. I slept through two innings. I completely went out while watching that game.
So did the Cup
really?
Hitters.
Yeah.
Well, better than yesterday.
Oh, yeah, I suppose.
They had only three hits yesterday, right?
I got my David Hall workout in this morning, minus the running. And I was like, all right, I was listening to the first hour of the game. And then I went home, watched highlights that I missed.
What does that mean?
And watched the rest.
The David Hall workout minus the running.
Yeah,
I can't run.
You didn't run.
I didn't run.
See.
Yeah,
so.
Minus the running.
Okay.
Yeah,
so then you did nothing.
No, he pumps iron and then he runs.
Oh, okay. That's
yeah.
Me pump iron,
yeah.
Then run.
He's our own resident Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I thought you made a joke about him running and that was the joke. Was that you didn't work out?
He
Marshall was up early.
I like getting up early, and we'll see how that serves me. As I just found out, it's going to rain later, and I did not bring my umbrella, so we'll see how I sort that out. If it rains before, say 2:30, 3, that's going to be bad.
Good.
Dangerous. I woke up at 4. Why?
Why?
I don't know.
What time did you go to bed? Is the better question.
Midnight.
Yeah, that's not it.
You really haven't had enough sleep. I'm going to say that.
No, and I meant to go to sleep earlier. I just had a friend from the West Coast call, so we were talking, and you know, next thing you know.
What you guys were saying about Dustin, so he didn't believe the tournament started last night?
Right.
He doesn't believe in the early games.
He vehemently insisted before today that the play-in round was not actually the NCAA tournament. Those four teams didn't really make the tournament.
Did you tell them the stats count as NCAA tournament wins, games, all that stuff?
Logic really doesn't have a place in many of these arguments with Dustin.
It's like just like you have the Final Four, now you have the opposite. You have the first four. You have the opening round. They're not playing games.
He only cares about the 64.
Okay.
If you don't, once you get to the 64, then you're in the tournament.
I call it the play-in. Similar
that's
to
not NBA.
Unless one of the teams involved was one of the five he attended during his college years.
Yes, then it would be.
tell Shaka Smart and VCU that it doesn't count. Like, what are we
Thank
talking
you.
About here?
Yes, they count.
Dustin play. Also has the Cubs now, what, at 80 wins now?
80
yeah.
wins.
Yeah.
His win total
what was
dropped
his,
to
What was the original win total?
92.
92.
Yeah. A 12-win difference?
Yeah. Well, the, it,
92
it dropped,
is
It dropped
bold.
Below 90 yesterday, didn't it?
He can't imagine them going 92-68.
The exchange rate.
If they somehow get swept in Arizona, it's going to be in the 60s.
They might because Arizona
schedule,
is really
right?
good.
That's how he rolls.
The exchange rate for Dustin is like one Japanese loss equals three American losses.
I think one Dodgers loss equals you guys are getting put on notice. Like that's the team.
But that
man.
Wasn't a home run.
That
was not a home run though. Come on.
He broke
count.
The plane
David,
of the field of
David,
play.
It's a 50-50.
That wasn't
David,
a home run.
David.
What?
It was a home run.
No, it was a fan. It's like
the trajectory of the ball.
Jeffrey
pointing
Mayer.
At
like,
the fan.
The definition.
The minute it happened.
The definition of spectator interference per the MLB glossary.
Mm-hmm. What's it say?
When a spectator clearly prevents a fielder from catching a fly ball by reaching onto the field of play, the batter should be ruled out. But no interference is called if a spectator comes in contact with a batted or thrown ball without reaching onto the field of play, even if a fielder may have caught the ball had the spectator not been there. But there was a reach. There was a reach, and they broke the perimeter.
Yeah. Well, so how would you interpret that? It was
fan interference.
I couldn't tell from the replay that the fan touched the ball
in the field of play, though. That was the issue.
Yes, they when you go but over the wall, can you imagine? And that's
it looked
the
like the trajectory of the ball was going to take it past the fence. Again, if they had called it a home run on the field, it would have stood as a home run on the field.
But can you imagine that fan? If they would have, if he would have prevented,
denied Ohtani a home run,
the shame, and he would have been escorted out, faced a lifetime full of, you just would
a
not.
Lifetime.
But we don't know if that was an American or a Japanese.
It doesn't appear that rule exists in Japan, perhaps.
Because they don't have angles. They don't have any camera angles.
No, but I think it was the.
You would think in Japan you'd have better camera angles.
But as a crowd member, you know not to do that because of that reason, typically. So I don't, they must, I don't know if they have that rule there.
Well, it was the sixth run of the game and they lost 6-3. It wasn't like. That was the
every
home
round,
run.
Every
that,
run counts,
that, but it wasn't the
changes
game
the
deciding play.
And maybe Matt Shaw wouldn't have had the pressure of hitting a three-run home run. He's like, if I can just get something to the gap, I can get a two-run double
well,
on top
PCA
of this game.
PCA also tried to lift it up and,
listen, man,
and hit a
I'll say this.
Fly.
Unlike yesterday, today, both these teams had opportunities. One team took advantage of mistakes and bad pitching. The other team did not.
I don't see Seiya Suzuki contributing today or yesterday. I'm just calling it like I see it, guys. I mean, I'm not the one paying him that contract.
And we're watching some of the replay here, and you see Sasaki on the mound. He looks so young.
He's 23.
It's like they took him out after the third inning because he was out past curfew.
He's 23. What do you want him to look like?
He's so like wispy.
He's all arms and legs.
He's 23 going on 14, Marshall. He looks really young and wispy.
All right, we'll see if he sells that when he wins Rookie of the Year. I'll be like, hey, remember when you were talking about how young he looks and didn't look like
Chris Sale has made a good living also being slender and pitching for a long time.
But Chris Sale looks a little rugged.
So did Randy Johnson.
Now.
This guy's not shaving for 3 years.
He'll come at you with scissors if you misfit his suit.
I don't know if he's ever shaved, to be honest.
Probably not.
But he's 23, so I assume that he has.
Did not have command. They should have taken advantage. They didn't.
How are you going to handle it? You've got a whole show.
Man, we're
going to
talk about a lot about the Cubs. I can tell you that.
Okay, show off.
I will explain. Yeah, exactly. We got a lot of show. You didn't. I get it, Mully. No, we're going to talk about the Cubs, specifically that Ohtani home run, giving you a little piece of it there. But wait till you hear what Craig Counsell had to say about that and also the performance of one Matt Shaw. Maddie Lee joins us at 10:25 because she's staying up late to talk a little Cubs with us. Mike Florio joins us to talk the Bears and the NFL at 11. Also, of course, high noon, Mark Grody will join us at noon. We will talk about North Carolina, the Bulls, the play-in or the non-play-in, whatever you guys want to call it. We got some sound from Joe Tooney that we haven't heard on Caleb Williams and you know how maybe he can be helped because of the Brady Mahomes connection that he's had in the past. Plus, we will talk Aaron Rodgers. What's next for him and the team that decided they are out on Aaron? That's all coming up.
Love it.
Have a great show.
All right, guys.